Demobilization of our armed services is rapidly reaching completion. After the regimentation of service life, how are veterans fitting back into civilian life? What about unemployment? Are many ex-servicemen opening their own businesses? Are they going back to their old jobs or seeking new ones? Word from the Country, a series of Wednesday night broadcasts, tonight brings you reports from CBS newsmen in Michigan, Virginia, Ohio, and Missouri on the veteran in civilian life. We hear first from Michigan. We take you to the studios of WJEF Grand Rapids, Willis Dunbar reporting.
Western Michigan veterans are streaming back into their home communities and are readjusting, as a rule, naturally and easily to civilian life. In Grand Rapids, about two-thirds of the men and women who entered the armed services are back home. They are reappearing in service clubs, churches, and other civic organizations. Almost a third of the men you see at a junior chamber of commerce meeting are wearing the honorable discharge emblem in the coat lapel. They are enrolling in the colleges, more in the larger state institutions than in the smaller schools. The Grand Rapids office of the United States Employment Service has 17 full-time workers counseling veterans, and almost every major community organization has committees devoting time to helping the veterans. In Western Michigan cities, veterans counseling centers, supported by local funds, are seeking to coordinate the activities of the Red Cross and other groups interested in veterans affairs. The Chamber of Commerce in Grand Rapids has a special committee to advise veterans who are planning to go into business for themselves. And a very substantial number seem to be interested in starting a venture of their own. Only 25 or 30% are going back to their old jobs. In a good many cases, these men express an unwillingness to tie themselves down. They want some time off to enjoy life for a bit, and, as they put it, to look around. On the other hand, there are those who seem very anxious to get back to the old routine, to start working at the bench or the desk which they left to go to war. They are joining veterans organizations, both the old ones and the new ones, very rapidly. It's too soon yet to foresee just how potent veterans organizations are going to be as a force in this region. Just at present, they're pretty busy inducting new members. The ex-GIs are not rushing into politics, but a few are running for local and county offices. In one city of 55,000, Kalamazoo, the vice mayor is a World War II veteran. In one county in western Michigan, a Navy veteran is running for prosecuting attorney, and a disabled veteran is seeking nomination for the office of county treasurer. But relatively few veterans seem to be active in political affairs. An increasing tendency among veterans to shift jobs has been noted since the end of the strike wave. Air Corps veterans, in a good many instances, are receiving much smaller salaries than they did while in uniform. Quite a number are re-enlisting. Training on the job and apprenticeship programs are getting underway slowly. Employers do not seem to be too well informed in regard to this program. The veterans who are attending the colleges are studying harder and taking their work more seriously than pre-war students. A great many are married and living in trailer camps for want of adequate housing facilities elsewhere. Few veterans appear to be getting entangled in the clutches of the law. The traffic accident toll is mounting, but veterans do not seem to be involved in this as much as civilians. The fear that the discharged serviceman would come back to civilian life a changed individual, that he would be a neurotic case or some other kind of a problem, is certainly proving unwarranted in western Michigan. The veteran has not come back disillusioned or beaten or cynical. In fact, he seems much less so than many civilians. Now back to George Bryan in New York.
That's the word from Michigan. For a report on Virginia veterans, now to the studios of WRVA Richmond, Scott Jarrett reporting.
I heard a couple of vets talking over the civilian situation the other day. One chap said, "Things are rough, plenty rough. Can't find a house, don't like the job I used to have, prices are sky high. Guess I better re-enlist." Well, things are a little rough, but they're worse for non-veterans, and most ex-military personnel realize it. Both governmental and civilian agencies are ready to aid the veteran, and they are being used. The local Chamber of Commerce advises an average of two veterans a day on starting a new business, and the Veterans Information and Service Center interviews over 4,000 a month, coordinating the efforts of more than 30 other agencies. The most outstanding help to the veteran is the program for on-the-job training. The Committee on Veterans Education has already approved 3,100 job classifications, each with an average opportunity for 5 veterans. It approves 70 more per day. The Richmond Retail Institute is offering 2 10-hour courses in merchandising to the veteran at a nominal fee, with subjects such as selling, effective speech, and business mathematics. Classes are no larger than 18 pupils, the majority taking on-the-job training now, planning their own business later on. Nearly 5,000 disabled veterans in the area are training in jobs that include awning maker, embalmer, and termite treater, as well as more prosaic occupations. If a disabled vet suffers a breakdown, he is entitled to further training when he recovers, either in the same job or one more suitable. I interviewed 2 veterans of the Women's Army Corps who take on-the-job training. One is rated an excellent student of a 2-year course in clothes designing. The other is completing a 6-month course in a beauty shop. She plans her own establishment and says her training as an Army medic has come in handy in giving massage. Even the veteran who aspires to become tomorrow's Van Johnson or Jane Russell will have opportunity to take on-the-job, or shall we say on-the-stage training, at Bob Porterfield's Barter Theater, which opens at Abingdon in June. Leslie L. Jones, director of the Veterans Information and Service Center, states that on-the-job training has generally been appreciated, but that some few veterans seem to consider the plan merely a method of adding to their salaries. He also advises vets to obtain union approval before training in a union shop to avoid interruption before the training is complete. Dr. William Thomas Sanger, president of the Medical College of Virginia, reminded me that many doctors returning from the services need brushing up in various aspects of their profession. The college is giving refresher courses for these veterans, an intensive review lasting from 2 to 3 weeks. The course, of particular value to physicians who intend to specialize in a branch of medicine other than the one they practice in military service, is given to about 50 students every 3 months. In spite of the scarcity of office and store space, new businesses continue to appear. Typical projects are radio repair shops, often operated in the home. Retail tobacco and phonograph record shops are popular, too. 2 ex-Air Corpsmen have a small airport, and they're doing fine. 2 veterans are buying wrecked and obsolete airplanes, rehabilitating and selling them to foreign concerns. Yes, a lot of things are rough, but the veteran is getting a break and knows it. I return you to George Bryan in New York.
We've heard from Michigan and Virginia. Now, for a report on veterans in Ohio, we take you to the studios of WGAR Cleveland, Ralph Warden reporting.
Clevelanders who came back from service to their old jobs or to better jobs with the old employer are doing very well now. Those who seek new jobs are finding it more rugged, and many are compromising on jobs that require less than their maximum knowledge and skill. Practically all, however, have to apply all of their skill and some civic cooperation and a bit of luck to find a place to live. The U.S. Employment Service here is receiving 6,000 new applications a month and placing about 1,000 men a month. One of the commonest difficulties is that men trained to use and service complicated machinery and instruments, such as airplane motors or radar, naturally want to work in those fields, and there just aren't enough such jobs to go around. The XGIs wait a little, look around a little, and then in most cases take the best job that is available. From there on, the picture is brighter. Employers say the returning veterans are good workers and that they are adjusting quickly. The Veterans Information Center here has interviewed 21,000 veterans who want more education and 19,000 who want on-the-job training. Everyone concedes there are not nearly enough approved job training programs. Ohio State University at Columbus now has an enrollment over 16,000. 40% of them are on GI benefits. University officials say the veterans are maintaining grades slightly above the non-veteran. 90% of the GI loans made here are to finance homes, the other 10% for going into business. The Cleveland office has made 7,000 loans and 1 foreclosure. The big problem of the man going into business is how to get building materials and tools and supplies. The situation admittedly is tough, but most of the new businessmen are making a go of it. One recurring problem is union requirements. 2 Clevelanders who wanted to run their own motion picture theater found it would be expensive to hire 2 union operators. Their own qualifications were good, but they were not eligible to join the union because they were owners, not employees. Similar situations often confront the man who buys 1 truck, drives it himself, and solicits business. Not all the veterans out here aspire to the same kind of work they did in the Army. One downstate man who landed with the Marines in some of the Pacific's hottest spots, is now running a successful beauty parlor with another ex-Marine as one of his best operators. A service in which folks out here take a special pride is the city-operated Veterans Information Center. It was one of the earliest to be set up in the nation, and today is one of the largest. It is giving aid and advice on all sorts of problems to 7,000 veterans a month. One Clevelander solved his own problem with the resourcefulness that marks the veteran. He started a dry cleaning business and found he needed a truck. He contracted to buy one from government surplus through the WAA. The truck, it proved unsatisfactory, so he filed a claim for his money back. The claim is still pending. The veteran, finding himself truckless and low on funds, went right out and got a job. Now he's working for the WAA on salary. And now, back to George Bryan in New York.
Michigan, Virginia, Ohio. And now for news on how veterans in Missouri are fitting back into civilian life, we take you to the studios of KMOX St. Louis, Rex Davis reporting.
There are several different agencies working in the St. Louis area with the prime objective of putting the veteran back into his rightful place in civilian life. But even the reports of all the agencies cannot give us a true picture of the situation. There's a good old American tradition of doing things for yourself that makes any accurate survey impossible. In other words, tremendous numbers of returned veterans are going about the job of readjustment without any help from any agencies. This is particularly true of those returned servicemen who are going into small businesses of their own, and the number's large. But in many cases, they've made their own financial arrangements with a bank with which they've dealt before, or through the aid of a relative or friend, without making application for guarantee of a loan through the Veterans Administration. In addition, the financial institutions do considerable screening of applicants before they get to the Veterans Administration. And here again, the available figures do not show just how many have been refused. But we do know that of 715 veterans who applied for farm loans from January 19th to April 19th, 557 loans were completed for a total of more than $1,300,000. Of the 876 who applied for business loans, 741 were approved for a total of more than $2 million. Many returned servicemen have probably been hindered in the matter of going into business for themselves because of the various shortages which have affected most businessmen. But they do lean toward starting a business with which they've had some contact before. It must be remembered, of course, that of the men who have been in service, at least 60% had no jobs before. They went into service directly from school, and about 75% of those are going back to school. Those who are looking for jobs are apt first to shop around to see if they can find something better than they've had before. Increased responsibilities make it necessary for them to find a better job, or if they've been in the service for a number of years, perhaps they've outgrown their old job. But it's estimated that about 20% of those who had jobs before entering the services are returning to them now. Between July of last year and April of 46, more than 86,000 veterans have returned to the St. Louis area labor market. The best estimates at the moment are that probably 25% of these are presently unemployed. The community veteran centers, both of St. Louis and St. Louis County, are actively checking industrial firms to secure employment for veterans. And the Chamber of Commerce conducts a strenuous class in salesmanship for those who wish to enter that field of business. It's interesting to note that the disabled veterans present no great problem. They're glad to accept the jobs offered to them and are very cheerful about the opportunity to work. We've even been told of one disabled veteran who went to work on furlough from the hospital just to prove to himself that he could get and hold a job. I return you now to George Bryan in New York.
Tonight's Word from the Country broadcast has brought you four regional reports on the veteran and civilian life. Next Wednesday night's broadcast will bring you reports on how small businesses are faring in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Utica, New York, Peoria, Illinois, and Charleston, West Virginia. In my opinion, to be heard tomorrow night at this time over most of these same stations, will bring you the opinions of William Bradford Huey and Foster Haley on the subject, Is There a Case Against the Admirals? This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.